Okay, we are here in Shar Simcha. We said we're going to work on happiness, which is something that requires, it does require a lot of work, a lot of skill to learn how to be happy in all situations. You know, sometimes you meet those people who are just positive people. They're just come what may. And some people are a little bit more born like that, it could be. They're just so easygoing. But there are people who really work on this. And that's what we're trying to do over here, is we're trying to look at happiness as something that we work on. Actually, one of my daughters was sitting in yesterday. One of the milas of Zoom is I can have my daughters in the room and you wouldn't even know. You just see me and my nice bald and red beard. But my daughters have attended the whole Ben Hazman. Now they're not here. I think they were scared away by yesterday. I was making too many jokes. My oldest daughter said, Abba, I could have said everything you said in 5 minutes. I'm like, oi. So today I'm going to learn my lesson. I'm going to try to say more. But now my daughters are not here. I'll show you. Look, they're gone. See, they're gone. She was telling me, one of my daughters, she had read something I had wrote in my sefer about people who look angry, that they have to realize that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, if you look angry or look sad, it affects other people. You know, a lot of times when you're on a family trip and one of the kids is like moping. So, you know, when you're little, you feel like, what? I can be sad and it's my thing. I'm allowed to be sad. But really, when a person is moping around, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, it affects the whole family. And you know those family trips where one of the kids is sitting in the car with his head down or her head down. It ruins the trip. So that's an external expression on the face. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, that a person should realize that his face is a bor b'rishus harabim. It affects people if you have an angry face. You know, it's bothersome. Sometimes you'll sit at dinner with the family and like one person's just not down. And that face, it like creates a heaviness for everyone around. So she said to me, I understand that you could just put on a happy face. But how can you really change how you feel? If you're not in a good mood, you're not in a good mood. And what are you expected to do? But the answer is you really can affect your mood. You really could. It's possible. And we're going to try to understand how. We're going to try to understand how. Simcha is really an attitude that we have, you know. The concept of simcha comes up in many areas of the Torah. I would say the most common area is what we call sameach b'chelko. Sameach b'chelko is someone who's happy with his lot. That's an attitude. There's nothing objective about being happy with your lot. Well, why should somebody be happy with his lot if somebody else has something better? But it's an attitude. It's a certain enjoyment in what you have and who you are. And people who have that attitude are generally more happy. You see it on them. They appreciate things in a different way. They appreciate the types of vacations that they go on, meaning some families who, you know, they go to the Catskills. They don't go to Aspen or they don't go to Florida. But that's what our family does. We enjoy that. They're sort of like insular in their lives. In their life, they enjoy the things they do. And that's an attitude. And then there are people who are always what they call themselves the have-nots. You know, they're constantly focused on what they're not doing, what other people are doing. And there's really no objective definition of being happy. Happiness is really an attitude. So the answer is really that you can, in fact, be happy. You can be happy regardless of what's going on in your life if you're changing your perspective. You know, I remember when I was growing in yeshiva. So how do you define growth? I mean, a lot of times you find with your friends are growing sometimes at a much faster pace than you. And I've had that in yeshiva. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. It's a little bit painful to watch other people grow so much faster. But that's a mistake because, you know, the way to really enjoy your growth is to see how you've developed. I remember my first year of Beis Medrash when I was 17 or 18 years old, and I really hadn't learned Gemara on a high level at all, and I was really struggling with even the words. But I looked at my Gemara brachos from the beginning of the year, and I saw how many words I didn't know. It was actually pretty embarrassing. My wife saw my Gemara brachos from 17 or 18, and she looked at it and she goes, "Wow, I even knew more words than you did." So that was a low blow, but it's true. I guess I never really had applied myself, and my wife knew more than I did. But looking at my Gemara, the things that I didn't know in the beginning of the year, and then what changed as I was flipping, by the time I got to Daf Nun Beis, all the words I didn't know at the beginning of the year, I now didn't even translate. By the way, and I enjoyed that because it was my own achievement. I don't know. I had other smarter people who were doing better than me, but in my Gemara, it showed that I progressed. And when you can enjoy your own achievements, you're happy. By the way, just once we're on this topic, this is a major thing, and I've spoken about it a lot, but not enough, is the idea of dictionaries. When we were in yeshiva, before art school, when I was in yeshiva, there were no art scrolls. There was the Sansino Gemara. The Sansinos are like those Gemaras with those words you don't even know what the English means. That they for art thou haveth noteth, you know, all these like Shakespeare words. So we weren't using those Gemaras. We had a Jastrow dictionary, and we would sit, and we were having a good time with it. We called him Dr. J. He was Dr. J, the Jastrow dictionary, and we looked up words, and that's how we got to learn Gemara so well, so quickly. The problem today is when people look things up in an art scroll, they're not really learning the relationship to words. They're really just learning sentences, and sentences doesn't give you a command of a language. So it's just something that I noticed, meaning, so there I was, 17 years old. I was looking up all these words. And then by the end of the year, there were so many words I knew. And that's what makes a person happy. Not, oh yeah, and your friends who came, I had friends who came. I was in a yeshiva where there were guys from more modern places that actually learned what's called Ivrit be'Ivrit, which means they actually learned classes in high school in Hebrew language. They were taught by Israelis in Hebrew. So they came in like knowing Hebrew, even as conversation, forgetting the words. But that's not where I was. Where I was, that was my enjoyment of my success, was the movement from where I was at the beginning of the year to the end. And this is really an attitude issue. A person has to always look where they're progressing, where they're moving, and that's how you grow. That's how you really know you've done something. Good. So that's what we're talking about over here. And people can change with their attitude in these areas if you work on it. So let's see in the Sefer. We're now in Shar Simcha of Orchas Tzadikim, Hasimcha Hamida Zos Balada Machmas Rosh Shalva Belibo Belifegara. Simcha comes when a person feels calm, without something that's bothering him. But Adam Amasik Tavaso, someone who gets something that he desires, below Yaralo Davar Amatavaso, and doesn't have something that's irking him, Bizeye Sameach Tadir, he'll always be happy. Via iru panav, he'll have a shine on his face. Vizivo mavik, it'll sort of like a light will come of his face, which is a fascinating thing, by the way. I wonder if the Goyim even noticed this. I know that noticed this by Tzaddikim, and just generally also by happy people. If you look carefully, there's a ruchniistic light that emanates from people, either Chachmas Adam Tar Panav, the Torah itself creates a certain shine off of the face that is discernible, you can tell. And also happiness. People who are happy have a certain shine. I remember once I was learning with a Rebbe, and someone started talking to him about a certain shtickle Torah, and all of a sudden his face illuminated like a light bulb. It was quite an incredible thing to see. I saw this also by a particular tzaddik that his chavrusa called, and he had a mara makom that was a raya, and all of a sudden his face just started shining. It's an amazing thing. Happy people have shining faces because they're alive. Their neshama is expressing itself. As the pasuk says, lev samech yetiv geya. But again, like we said, what does it mean over here? He's saying if nothing bothers you, then you'll be happy. It sounds very snobby. When nothing bothers you, if everything's perfect, what kind of thing is this to work on? That if nothing bothers you when you're in total tranquility, then you'll always be happy. But that's never the case. The answer is perspective, perspective, perspective. Right, we always point out, when we like to point out Shalom Bayis Yesodos, right? If a person is understanding that his wife is not like him and that men and women are so different, so then his perspective on his wife, let's say he wants to go to a chasana and she's fixing her sheitel for 45 minutes and he took a 3-minute shower and he's got on his suit and he's ready to go and it's his best friend's chasana. He can't believe he's waiting for 45 minutes. So he's going to be very unhappy. Like the Orchis Tzaddikim is saying over here, he's going to be bothered and he can't be happy. The answer is no. If he has a proper perspective of what a wife is and how women function and why that's understandable, then it's not going to bother him. He's just going to understand. He's going to even know ahead of time that we have to subtract 45 minutes from what I planned because I'm married. And that's life. So when someone has these types of attitudes of understanding of how people operate, they're less bothered. I remember once I came into a klelo and there was someone who was really not nice to me. I was very uncomfortable. It was a brand new klelo. It was a klelo, a very talented group of people there. And the guy, he comes over to me after a few days, no one said hello. And he said, I didn't want to say hello to you because I didn't even know if you were really going to stay here. I'm like, thanks a lot. It sounds very obnoxious, very insulting. Like, well, you can't say hello to somebody. But then I got to know the guy and I know that that's just the way he talks. That's the way he functions. He's got that type of personality that he always likes to say things on edge. Now I enjoy it. I enjoy when he talks that way because that's him. That's how he expresses himself. And when you get to know someone like that, things that would have really insulted you or bothered you, you enjoy. They're that guy. He's that guy. You know, it's like sometimes when you know that guy, I don't even know how to describe it other than he's that guy. When you have that guy around and you watch new people around him, they get all insulted and all bent out of shape. But to you, he's that guy. That's how he operates. If you have a different perspective on things, then you're much more sympathetic, much more understanding. Imagine there's somebody I know who has a very difficult personality, but a certain old friend of mine, but he had a very, very hard childhood, very, very rough. He didn't have much of a home. And I always, whenever I speak to him, I keep it in mind just how he grew up and I'm more amazed by him than anything, how far he's come. But if someone else would speak to him who doesn't really understand where he's coming from, they'll find him harsh and he's got a bite to him. But to me, he's impressive. And even when he bites at me, you know, I understand it and I appreciate it. So there's a lot here of how you see things. If things are going to bother you, so then you're not going to be happy. But the key is to be able to have an attitude where things bother you less. I wasn't zocha to be on the Shabbos in the desert that some of you guys were on that Shabbos, but it was a crazy Shabbos from what I heard. But I think that there was probably bonding on that Shabbos that was greater than any other Shabbos. And people, I think if people had a choice, I don't know if they would go back again. Some would, some wouldn't. But if no one would have ever taken back that experience, there was something about it. And when you go into a place like that, you change your expectations of what will make you happy. And you end up becoming happy with things that you never imagined were possible, which is a very important point in what we're going through here, being at home. I'm getting so much from being home. There's so much I'm not gaining, and so much I'd rather be in yeshiva with chavrusas. Today was a much better day for me of learning than another day. I learned with Meir Weinberger, my second Seder Chavrusa. He called me at 3 o'clock my time. It was he davened, and then we learned from 8 to 9:15, and it was a machaya. I felt a little bit like I was back in yeshiva, but it's hard. I realize more and more that as much as the Bachra might need me, maybe I need them, maybe even more. I don't know. It's good to have focus and good to have responsibility and good to be able to be working as some sort of role model. But being at home, a person has to focus on what's positive over here. And what's positive for me, I've gained so much. I went through the Sefer that I wrote, I went through with my son, nearly maybe 180 pages of the Sefer, because he didn't really feel like learning Gemara in the beginning. And I felt like, what an honor. When would I ever get my son to sit and learn my Sefer with him? And I felt like he got to know me a little bit, how I think in learning. And I got to see how he thinks. And I was actually pleasantly surprised by the things I saw. And then we made a little VOD of all my older kids where we were learning. We started learning Pirkei Avos, and it's going to continue. We said we're enjoying this so much that we should do this even when this whole corona craziness is going to be over. And it's a question of focus. If a person wants to be happy, so then they can. Actually, my son asked me, he said, Abba, is this hard for you, all the being at home? So I told him a very honest answer. I said, to be honest with you, I can't afford not to be happy because I'm running a family. And if you're running a family, you can't afford not to be happy. I have to hold the family together. And if I'm going to be busy being down or whatever it is, it's not going to work for the family. Now, that sounds a little funny. How can you do that? The answer is you can do that very well. It's an attitude of what you're letting yourself think. You have to be positive. You have to focus on what's good here. You are running a family. You cannot pout. You cannot be down. I've spoken to Bachrim who very much they get overwhelmed sometimes by their parents' emotions. You know, and it's very overwhelming when a parent's not happy. It's very hard for a child. The child would want to do anything and everything to make the parent happy, and it's not realistic. And the child ends up being very upset. And it's a parent's responsibility to get themselves together emotionally so that the family can feel that sense of strength. And it works. It works. It's just something that you have to realize is an attitude that if you demand it of yourself, you will have it. You demand it of yourself, you will have it. It's a skill, and you have to, a person who obligates himself to see the positive in situations, see the growth, see the enjoyment, see the opportunity, such a person will be bothered by so much less in life and will enjoy all that's going on. It's something that's important to keep in mind. So when we say here in the Sefer that someone is happy if they're not bothered, the answer is, yeah, it's true. But that doesn't mean he's living in the perfect world. It means he's trained himself not to be bothered. He's trained himself to let things slide. That's the key to real simcha. And there are certain people, by the way, I should point this out, who pride themselves on pouting. It's almost like they like to punish everyone around them through negativity. Negative people are very dangerous, and it's like creates a certain fog, like a thickness in the air. When you're around a negative person, it creates a vibe for everyone who's around, and they sometimes use it to control situations. They use their negativity as a protection for themselves. They use it as a point of control, and it's a babyish thing to do. Instead of enjoying life and appreciating what's good and enjoying the day, they feed off that opportunity to focus on the negative and to get what they want from that negativity. And successful people don't do that. Successful people are always people who are looking to find where there's a place to grow, where there's a place for opportunity. And they end up with a shine on their face because they're alive. They're experiencing it in such an amazing way. They're really alive with it. The Chachmas Adam Tarapanav, the Lev Sameach, his face is shining with real, real vitality and strength. And that's the key over here. So I would like to wish everyone a good afternoon.